pushers, the environmental thugs, and the certified organophobes. Here to lead you for another hour of Common Sense Gardening, the Doctor of Dirt, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan. One of my teammates in the family golf tournament down in Victoria, Texas, where we came in dead last. We shot four under par, 11 under par. We had one fewer member than the other teams, but still we didn't do very well. Had a great time, though. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving, didn't eat too much. If you did, we've got some health and nutrition recommendations on dirtdoctor.com, and we've got an event coming up where we're going to have a whole lot of that information. I've had some questions about who all is going to be there in that regard, and we're still getting all that finalized, but if you go to the button on dirtdoctor.com over on the left that says either Organic Club of America or the Healthy Living and Growing Seminar, you'll see all the details there. It's January the 19th from 10 o'clock in the morning till 3. People in the Dallas-Fort Worth area can come in person there. If you're in some other part of the country, you can listen online if you're a member, and we hope you can. All kinds of topics. We're going to try to cover a lot of stuff, and you can go to that button and see what all is going to be covered by me and other folks that are going to be joining me. And then there's going to be prize drawings that are going to be across the board relative to mosquito control products, grass-fed meats, the Munster Natural dog food and cat food, my books, Scram products, Crazy Water, Still products, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, Hank Blue Paint. We're going to talk about that. It's pretty incredible what Hank Blue Paint does. We'll talk about that specific thing at the event. And all kinds of other gardening products and so forth will be there. So check it out. It's the Healthy Living and Growing Seminar, the Organic Club of America, bringing you this hour of the show. Telephone number 866-444-3478. I talked to Linda off the air about her idea with Alka-Seltzer and flea control. Seems to be a lot of interest in that, and we've got a couple other pests that people are bringing up this morning, too. Well, what Linda said she did some time ago and had great luck with it was taking a 9-inch by 12-inch pan and putting water in this pan and then putting an Alka-Seltzer, two Alka-Seltzer, one in each end, and leaving it out. And she said it worked as a trap for fleas. They came to it because of the carbon dioxide or whatever, jump in, kill themselves. And she said she did it, put fresh ones out twice a day when it was the worst right at first, then cut back to once a day until it was under control. So Alka-Seltzer and water in a flat pan, trap for mosquitoes, worth a try. So check that out. Somebody else wanted to know how to control chiggers from her dog in her yard. The traditional control is sulfur, dusted out, and it works, but you got to be careful with it, especially if you're in alkaline soils that already have a lot of sulfur in the soils. It, again, might be a good place to start by getting a soil test from Texas Plant and Soil Lab and see what the level of sulfur and other minerals is before you start putting out things that are single element products like sulfur. But dusting sulfur, if you don't overdo it, can be very, very effective for chiggers. You can also spray the product called BioWash. It works well for that kind of thing. You can also use the same spray that we use as a general kind of preventive spray and even a curative spray for some insect and disease issues on plant materials. And that would be using the Garrett Juice Plus as the base of the spray and then adding 8 ounces of hydrogen peroxide to the spray and 1 to 2 ounces of orange oil. And then to top it off, the BioWash, using it from 1 to 2 teaspoons to no more than a tablespoon per gallon. That's quite a bit of that stuff. You don't have to use very much, and it's an excellent cleaner as well. All that information, of course, is on our websites. And you can go into guides which is right on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on it, and it will take you to all those different formulas and so forth. At the seminar, we'll not only be talking about the formulas and the updated versions of the formulas, whatever we see is working the best now, but we'll show how to make those various mixtures yourself at home and talk about the various alternatives that can be used. So we hope you can join us. Again, that is going to be January the 19th. Mike in Joshua, Texas, next up. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Doing very well. What's up?
Well, I got proof that all the trees on the property are a community. We, neighbor, we took down a large oak tree probably 6-7 years ago. That's a stump.
Uh-huh.
And then 2 years ago, we took another one down about 50 feet away and piled up brush on top of it. And after 2 years, a couple of weeks ago, they burned it. Well, the stump 50 feet away started smoking. And evidently, that fire went down that root to that 5-year-old dead tree, 6-year-old dead tree, and started on fire.
Wow. Interesting.
You had talked, and I kind of understood before that maybe all the trees in an area, the roots are going to intermingle, and they're going to maybe graft to each other, and evidently. Well, I've seen trees, if you clear a whole lot of brush out from under a tree, sometimes you'll kill the tree.
Well,
kill the port family.
That's true. And you mess with the community of plants that are under a tree. A lot of those things are not only intermeshed, but they'll actually fuse. Certain tree roots will actually graft together. So,
yeah.
But I don't know how fire could transfer through the roots, because I don't see how there'd be enough oxygen for the fire to keep going.
Well, we looked at it, we dug out around it, and the fire came up, or one of the large roots pointing in the direction of the tree stump that was burning it up, the brush pile.
Uh-huh.
That was where the fire was coming from.
Wow, that's interesting.
So it has been down. It might have been down 7 or 8 years, so it might have even been hollow enough to act as a chimney.
Yeah, if there's enough oxygen moving through it, funneling through it, I can see how that would happen. You didn't get any photographs of any of that, did you?
No.
Okay. All right.
Never think of that.
That's interesting. And yeah, this bottom line of it is that the roots of trees can absolutely mesh together and become one giant root system, especially if they're in the same genus. But I don't think that it's impossible for different kinds of plants' roots to merge together. Yeah.
Generally, what we'll clear out under these large oak trees would be cedars and hackberries and mulberries and, just all the real junk stuff. And I've actually had a case where the tree suffered. It didn't completely die, but, it died back. But it eventually came back.
No, you're absolutely right. When you're taking a nice tree out of a group of trees, residential or commercial property, you will see a little bit of downturn in the health of the trees that are left, even if it doesn't kill them. Generally, it won't kill them, but you will see a little downturn. You'll see a little discoloration of the foliage maybe, and a little weakness, maybe a little dead here and there, and it'll be on the side of the tree toward the tree that you removed.
What is this soil-borne fungus that affects post-oak trees? About every 5 years, I lose a large 50-year-old post-oak tree. They're kind of in a line, like it's coming down the line.
Well, post-oak is in the white oak family, and it's not susceptible to oak wilt, so it's some other kind of a disease pathogen, possibly. But on the other hand, Mike, what can happen with post-oaks is that even though they're pretty long-lived, tough native trees, they have a pretty delicate root system. And if they get in stress from heat or from drought, if the drought line goes too deep in the ground, it'll knock post oaks out like crazy. And that's happened to thousands and thousands of trees during some of these droughts that we've had. And there might be a pathogen that comes in at the end to kind of push them over the edge. Hypoxylon canker would be in that category.
That's the one where
you see the gray splotches on the trunk or on the limbs. Well, that's not a disease that comes in and attack and kills a healthy plant. It only comes in and is the final push over the edge. It's the hospice situation. Well, not the hospice. Hospice helps, but the
just after that last bad drought we had 7-8 years ago, we were digging like a septic tank. We were 20 feet in the ground, and the ground was still powder dry.
Yeah.
Hard as it could be.
Yep.
That's what gives them.
Well, Mike, thanks for the report.
Thank
Interesting
you,
stuff.
Bye.
Talk to you later. Howard Garrett, The Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. I'll be back after this.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
One of the places you can go to buy Crazy Water is at the Crazy Water store in Mineral Wells. This is where the Crazy Well is and where you can purchase Crazy Water and many related products. Crazy Water is what I drink, and there are several reasons why you should too. Other waters can't add naturally occurring minerals to their water, only synthetic ones. Crazy Water's high level of natural minerals are more readily absorbed by your body than synthetic minerals. Crazy Water is also a natural sports drink without all the artificial flavors and sugars. Crazy Water drinkers love it because it's real and it's an easy means of hydration and electrolyte replenishment. Crazy Water's been making people feel good since 1881. Go to drinkcrazywater.com and click on Find Us to locate a store in your area. If your favorite store is not carrying Crazy Water, click on the red Get Crazy banner ad on the top of the store location page to print a page that you can give to your store so they can get Crazy Water for you. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
Everyone is talking environmental issues and going green. Natural organic gardening and landscaping are important parts of this movement. Some organic proponents only say to stop using the chemicals. Howard Garrett, in the highly acclaimed Organic Manual, explains in detail what to do instead. His what to do is the organic method. He recommends stopping the use of toxic chemical pesticides and synthetic fertilizer, but goes on in great detail about the practical alternatives. This is one of the few gardening books effective for use coast to coast and border to border. The best-kept secret of all, uncovered in the Organic Manual, is that the organic program is better in every way. Whether it's growing beautiful landscaping or delicious healthy food crops, the Organic Manual explains bed preparation, planting, pest control, and compost making. It also covers pet management and natural living advice. Purchase the Organic Manual in bookstores everywhere. Also available in independent garden centers, nurseries, hardware, and other fine stores. Go to dirtdoctor.com to purchase or to find a store near you.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
The Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products longer than anyone in the organic business. They have quality fertilizers and soil amendments both in liquid and dry form. All of Medina's products work by stimulating soil biology to help all plants.
Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, you can feel comfortable knowing that you're spending your dollars wisely on Medina products. They have a brand new fertilizer that's going to be on the market pretty soon. I'll keep you posted on that. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina, and it's available in sizes from quarts to large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. Their website is medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at hardware stores, nurseries, garden centers, feed stores, any place that sells organic products. The Medina products are always available from naturalorganicwarehouse.com.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard back. We've had at least one, maybe more, call about where the radio station here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area is that we're on. 660 AM, the answer is on the dial at a couple of different places. In Dallas, 92.9 FM, these are FM. In Arlington, 99.5, and in Fort Worth, 95.5. You can always, by the way, if you're trying to find something for yourself or tell some friend in some other part of the country how to listen to us, they can go to dirtdoctor.com, and right on the homepage, it's got the information. You punch on the radio button there, and it tells you where we're on in the different cities and how to listen online and all that kind of stuff. So wherever you are, you can listen to the show one way or the other, and then the archives are there for you later on. Somebody wanted me to repeat the natural organic potting soil formula. Pat, if you can hang on, I'll get to you in just a second, and if you have to leave, I'll tell everybody where to find that information. J.D. in Waxahachie next up. Hello, J.D.
Hey, good morning, Howard. How are you this morning?
Very well, sir. Thank you.
Hey, I've got a question about live oak trees. I've got four of them I put out about 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And they're about 1.5 inches in caliper.
Okay.
otherwise, they're pretty healthy looking, but they developed these nodules on the some of the branches that are about the size of the end of your thumb or something like that. And I just wondered, is there a problem with that, or how do we get rid of that, or what, have you ever seen it before?
They're nodules about the size of your thumb.
Yeah, about the size of the end of the thumb, the thumbnail. You know, they're about the size of a normal live oak acorn. And some that are about five in a row. I counted one. They're right next to each other as the branch goes out.
Okay. Are they connected? You think that they're a growth of the bark, or there's something that's attached to the bark?
Well, it looks like it's a growth of the bark. Actually,
okay.
It's encompassed into that. However, it's solid. I've cut one off, and they're pretty solid. It looks like the internal wood part of the branch itself.
Does it? Okay. Well, it could be some kind of a gall, J.D., but it sounds like it's just some kind of a little canker that's happening on the trees. Do you have a phone that can send me a digital picture? Or a camera?
No, I do not. I could probably get some pictures of it, yeah.
If you could borrow a digital camera, a phone or something, and send me some pictures, it's either a gall or some sort of a little canker. And it could, in either case, it could indicate some sort of stress on the little trees. The thing you want to do, even with small trees, is make sure that the trunk flare is well exposed. You pull the soil and the mulch back so the tree's not too deep in the ground, in other words. And that may help the problem. The other things that can cause stress and lead to some things like you're seeing is too much water, not enough water, too much fertilizer, wrong kind of fertilizer, toxic material in the soil. You see what I mean? But the most common thing is the plant being too deep in the ground.
Yeah, I listened to you a few years ago, and you used to stress that when you're putting trees out that you should see the flare and all that stuff. I've lost a lot of trees over the years because of that. I put them too deep.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm well aware of that, you know, these days about that. So I don't know what it could be. It could be that they're not getting enough water or something. I don't know.
Try to get a picture and send to me, and I'll be able to tell better because it sounds like it's a growth that's like a wart, which would be a small canker. And that can be fairly benign, but it can also be an indication that something's wrong. If it's galls, it's definitely some stress and something's going on which needs to be fixed with the sick tree treatment or something like that.
Okay, one other question, if I may.
Sure.
The acorns, I've got some acorns that I picked up out from under a burr oak tree. I'm going to plant them.
Mm-hmm.
When is the right time of the year and how to plant those?
The sooner you do it after you pick them up, after they fall and hit the ground, the better.
Okay, very
so
good.
Immediately.
Which end goes up?
The pointy end goes down or throw them in sideways, which is what I do.
Okay, sideways is good.
Sideways is fine.
Thanks for your time. I'll get you a picture out on that.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Herc.
Yeah, some of the professional people, and I've done it myself too, you can take an acorn and put it in the potting soil sideways, so it's kind of countersunk. Half of the acorn is in the soil and half is still showing or a little bit showing. And that's kind of cool because, especially for kids, you can see the acorn break open and the little shoot come up and the root go down and then the sprout, the green part going up. And it's a good way to sprout the acorns as well. Let me see what I was going to do here. The information about, here's Pat next up. Hey, Pat in Carrollton, what can I do for you?
Hi, Howard. Thank you so much. I would be embarrassed if I wasn't so eager to actually get rolling with the recipe I hear you give just almost in my sleep, but it's never meant that much to me as it is now.
Now you're ready to go,
because,
huh?
Yeah, I'm living in a place where there's about a 30-foot span on my first floor location, Howard. It's like a miracle. Amid the rose bushes, rose butchies, as my kiddos used to say, and the cantaloupe that were growing here when I came on a vine, I said, oh, my golly, this is a little bit of heaven. But there's no one to say it's not advisable or we don't allow you to. In fact, we encourage growing of anything you might like in the flower beds, as long as it's not right at the walkway or so and have things, you know, kind of
sure.
overreaching and so. But scallions and garlic and ginger and there's no mind to it. I am on a side that doesn't get direct sunshine. But, Howard, I can't believe there's a beautiful rose bush.
Pat, we're going to have to run for a minute. Hang on, and we'll talk about all this potting soil. When we come back, don't go away. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor.
With SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. Authorities say a Tennessee man made a business of helping current and aspiring teachers in three states cheat on certification tests. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Memphis says Clarence Mumford hired people to take teacher certification exams on behalf of teachers in Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee. He now faces dozens of conspiracy and fraud charges. The Florida Sheriff's Office that investigated Kaylee Anthony's death says it overlooked a computer search for suffocation made from the little girl's home on the day she was last seen alive. The Orange County Sheriff's Office says its computer investigator missed a 2008 Google search for foolproof suffocation methods. The oversight first reported by an Orlando TV station. Investigators and cleanup crews have returned to the site of Friday's natural gas explosion in Springfield, Mass. That damaged 42 buildings. More details at srnnews.com.
Would you like to make $500 a month writing songs?
Would you like to be mentored by Grammy Award-winning songwriter Laura Story?
Enter the 2012 Create Songwriter Search today and be paid $500 a month to write songs and meet the top Christian publishers.
Hey, this is Laura Story, and I can't wait to hear your songs and have dinner with you. I'd love to answer your questions about songwriting. So if you're an aspiring songwriter and you've dreamed about being a professional songwriter, enter the Create Songwriter Search today.
The winner will also receive a three-month writer development deal with songwriting coach and former publishing head Cindy Wilt Colville.
If you've dreamed of being paid to write songs, enter the Create Songwriter Search today.
The deadline is approaching soon, so get your best songs and enter the Create Songwriter Search today.
This could be the year your dream of being paid to write songs comes true. Enter the Create Songwriter Search today at todayschristianmusic.com. That's todayschristianmusic.com. todayschristianmusic.com.
With Esther in Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. The Oklahoma City Thunder missed their last seven shots in regulation, but were able to beat Philadelphia 116-109 in overtime. Thunder coach Scott Brooks.
We battled in that overtime. We really did a good job of battling and making them miss some shots.
The Thunder now 10-4. The Washington Wizards are 0-11 after driving their second straight overtime game, this time in double overtime to Charlotte, 108-106. The Miami Heat rallied from 7 down to the final minute 52 to beat Cleveland 110-108. The Heat improved to 6-0 at home. Atlanta was a 104-93 winner over the L.A. Clippers. The Clippers have lost three straight. Sacramento beat Utah 108-97. The Kings squandered a 13-point lead in that game. Chicago beat Milwaukee 93-86. The Bulls snap a four-game losing streak. The L.A. Lakers were a 115-89 winner over Dallas. Both former Western Conference powers are a mediocre 7-7. Golden State down Minnesota 96-85. This is Esser in Sports. Fifth-ranked Duke beat number 2 Louisville 76-71 to win an early-season college basketball showdown in the Battle for Atlantis Tournament Championship in the Bahamas. Duke guard Quinn Cook says encouragement from teammates inspired him down the stretch while he scored the Blue Devils' last 8 points.
My teammates just give me a lot of confidence. So at the end of the game, you know, Mason grabbed me before I shot those free throws, and he said he believes in me. So, I mean, that just means the world to me. So, you know, I just stepped up to the line, just took my time and just knocked them down.
The Blue Devils are 6-0. 13th-ranked Missouri down Virginia Commonwealth 68-65 in the third-place game of the Battle for Atlantis. 14th-ranked Creighton was an 87-73 winner over Arizona State. It was number 18 UNLV, 82 Iowa State, 70. 19th-ranked Memphis, 52 Northern Iowa, 47. 22nd-ranked Cincinnati, 77 Oregon, 66. College of Charleston upset number 24 Baylor, 63-59. Notre Dame is going to the BCS Championship game after finishing a perfect 12-0 season with a 22-13 win over Southern California. With Esser in Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All righty, Howard, back with you and back with Pat in Carrollton. Pat, we're going to put this potting soil into pots or into a big bed or what, or both, or what do we got going exactly?
Actually, both, but the biggest one I want to use, Howard, is to make maximum use of the land. And the organic gardeners, which have adopted a community garden on my property in a nice area which where it is raised, see just not a lot of wisdom in a winter garden. And I know that can be one of the from different things I hear other advisors as well say there's nothing wrong with planting a winter garden. So they finished, so to speak, with the spring and summer garden, which is great. I came just after that, really had given everything it had to offer. So there's nothing wrong with any of that. And I'm thinking, what I'm asking in addition to the potting soil recipe, my second question is for the countertop compost holder. I misunderstood when I looked at it more carefully and got ready to order one from Plow and Hearth catalog, or they're just, that's not the only place. They're beautiful, and they are on the counter in the kitchen, and I've already saved the eggshells and been giving them to the organic gardeners when they were here, and they would run it back and dump it into the on-site right here, compost situation we have right here. So, but the one I was going to order doesn't really break it down. It just holds it. Well, right now, I don't need to do that. I just put it in Ziploc, throw it in the freezer, and then whenever they came every Monday, I would give it to them. But now I'm thinking, do you have tips for someone who's not an agricultural or landscape person? I'm not in large amounts of need, but I guess I've kind of answered my own question in addition to whatever else you might supply after the organic potting soil recipe about how to actually break it down from my table to the ground, what needs to happen in at this time of the year, what kind of time frame are you looking at? And to get started, I'm going to use the recipe, which you gave so well. What's the material? What's the percentage? I made three columns. The material,
the recipe is on the website, and the latest one I did is, I think we used it in a newsletter. It's called Potting Soil Update 2011, and it's in the library. You can just go to the library at dirtdoctor.com and go potting soil, and it'll be there. It's probably in the archives of the newsletter as well. But basically, and this is probably the best way to say it, I'd forgotten it, I'd broken it down this way. Potting soil that I recommend, which continues to change and be tweaked and everything, but it's basically 60% compost or humate or coconut fiber, which is also called core, earthworm castings, coffee grounds, you know, all those organic kinds of things. They're all kind of in that same category of compost. And then 30% of the mixture should be rock, and that would be the lava sand and the natural diatomaceous earth, the zeolite, granite, green sand, all those kinds of things. Green sand ought to always be one of the smallest percentage-wise of the mixture. And then 10% should be the sugars, and then sugar category, you got cornmeal, dry molasses, wheat meal, you know, things like that, things that are either sugars or convert to sugars quickly. So that's it. 60% compost, 30% rock, 10% sugar. We've got more details on the website under this. I would put some mycorrhizal fungus in the mixture. And so that's the potting soil, but it's the same percentages that we use in the beds. You know, we put the compost and sugar and rock materials in the beds and mix it with the native soil. When you're putting it in pots, you can put a little native soil with it. In fact, it's a good thing to do. It will inoculate the potting soil with the native microbes, and that's a good thing. But if you put too heavy, too large a percentage of the native soil in the potting soil, and what that is, I don't know. Probably when you get over 10%, you start getting a little bit dicey. But it will hold water too much in a pot. You've got a different kind of drainage situation in the pods. But basically, we're still talking about, in the end result, for there being this wonderful mixture of compost or organic materials in general, rock materials, and sugars. And if it's in the ground, native soils. If it's in the potting soil, you just go up higher with the percentage of the compost stuff, and that's what's reflected by that 60-30-10. If you're doing it in the soil, it can be closer to equal amounts of compost, rock, and sugar. Sugar would be always the smallest, but the rock materials in the ground can be close to the same percentage as the compost and other organic materials.
Like 40-40 and then 10?
Yeah, that'd probably be good.
Right. And then, Howard, how do you recommend breaking down the compost? Is the pile the best, since they evidently will not be using what's on the property?
I'm not following you, Pat, about breaking it down. What do you mean by that?
Well, how to get it ground ready from the chicken bones and eggshells.
Oh, how to grind up the raw materials? Well, you
how
can
to make it.
Yeah, you can run it through a food processor. You can mow it if you're careful and have it thrown against the fence. You can bash it up with hammers, the bone and the hard kind of stuff. If you do it in the ground or in the compost pile, it'll surprise most people that the materials that you would think are hard to break down fairly fast. The things that are the slowest are bone and eggshells. But even them, if you grind them up in a blender or a food processor or something like that before they go in, they break down pretty fast.
All right.
Okay.
That sounds fabulous. And then bone, actually, could even boil it and small bones that become
Yeah, and crush soft. It. They'll definitely last the longest. The professional people, the commercial compost people, will put actual carcasses in the compost. And it'll break them down in a very short period of time because there's so much heat in those large commercial piles, which is hard to do, you know, in a home situation.
Howard, when you mentioned cornmeal and wheatmeal, does the GMO infiltration of previously you know, natural fibers of these products make any difference in the soil, or does it not transfer?
Oh, I think it will. I think it'll be a negative for the beneficial microbes in the soil, but it's just one of those things that's a fact of life that we have to deal with now. And the way you neutralize it, the way you overcome it, is to try to stimulate as much biological activity you can yourself with this blend I'm talking about of rock and organic matter
right.
and sugars. The sugars, especially molasses, will really fire up the microbes and kick them up to a furious level shorter period of time than anything you can do. And short of that, there's nothing we can do because the GMO stuff is become pretty much ubiquitous. It's out there in the food stream.
Irreversible for the moment, at least.
Yeah. Try to stay with the organic food as much as possible. That's all you can do. Pat, I got to run. Help some other people.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Dave in Parker. I assume Parker County?
Yeah, Dave? Parker, Colorado.
Oh, Parker, Colorado. Okay.
Yeah. I was wondering if you know of any way to get rid of pocket gophers. I've tried a whole bunch of stuff, and it doesn't work.
Well, a couple of tips for you to try, Dave. We've had some really good luck with what we deal with here that would be fairly similar from gophers and moles to voles. So, you know, anytime you're dealing with one of these rodent-type creatures, sometimes the same technology and the same ideas work across the board. A lot of the products that work the best contain castor oil. So you might look at what products are available there for you. The ones we use here in this area are called Scram, S-C-R-A-M, Scram. There's Scram Gopher or a Gopher Scram, Mole Scram.
Okay.
Those kind of products. And one of the main ingredients is castor oil. There's several other ingredients that this inventor has put together in these products that puts a fear of death in the animals, and they just want to get out of there.
So do you put that down the hole?
You put it on. These are granular products. You spread them on the surface, and if you can get them down in the hole, work them into the soil a little bit, they'll work even better. If those specific products aren't available in your stores, just look at the label and look for products that contain castor oil and some of those kind of things.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Good luck. Let me know how it works for you. And the number is 866-444-3478. Here's David in Richardson. Hey, David.
Oh, hello, Howard. I've got a load of pecan shells.
Okay.
Pick up load. What would be the best thing to do with those? Compost them or flower bed dressing?
Are they still really raw, or are they black now?
No, they're raw. They've still got pieces of pecan in it. It'd be good bird food.
Well, that's a problem, David. And the reason is that will attract fire ants like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want that. So the best thing for you to do is pile them up in a pile and compost them first and mix a whole bunch of dry molasses or some kind of sugar, whatever kind of sugar you can get your hands on, or some green plants, you know, some ryegrass or something that's green at this time, and really kick the biological activity up, which will kick the heat up, which will neutralize that, you know, use that protein of the nut that's in there. It'll really help the composting situation, and cook it to it till it's a black material and not the natural brown anymore, and then use it as a top dressing mulch in your bed preparation and in potting soils and things like that. If you put it out raw, you're going to have fire ants all over the place.
Yeah, but it'll stay in place.
Well, more or less. It'll actually stay in place better, David, once you've composted it a while and it doesn't have, you know, as hard a shell. In other words, the shell's been etched and broken down a little bit. It actually will stay in place better.
Yeah.
I know it's more trouble, but it's going to be the best thing for you to do.
Keep the cats out of it, too, I guess.
The cats don't like the sharp edges. That is exactly right. But and I'm not saying that 100% chance of bringing in the fire ants. You've been organic for a long time. So you probably have lots of sugar, lots of beneficial microbes in there, and the fire ants may still say, we don't want to go in there. That doesn't look like an appetizing place. But for most people listening, the pecan shells with the nut pieces, nut little bits still in the shell will attract the ants.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate the call. And we've got an open line for you all of a sudden across the board. Everybody had to go somewhere. 866-444-3478. Jump on here and we'll have time for several of you the rest of the show. And if you don't get in during the show and have a question during the meantime, during the week, anytime, go to dirtdoctor.com. Everything's in the library in alphabetical order. You can go to our Facebook and find all the really current information and links there as well. 866-444-3478.
Tired of poor-performing crops, gardens, or lawns? Texas Plant and Soil Lab offers you the most accurate and thorough soil nutrition test in the industry. Our special method is accurate for every soil type and in all areas of the country. The quality of the water you use for irrigation is also critical to the health of your soil and plants. We can provide you with a complete analysis and corrective recommendations for your water. Go to asktheplant.com today to see useful information and a full description of our services. That's asktheplant.com or call 956-383-0739.
Well, you've heard me talk about the dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas for some time now, and you're going to continue to because it's the best on the market. My dogs are proof. Hannah, Carmen, and Tater wouldn't eat any other dog food. They might, but I'd have to soup it up with something that tastes really good. This dog food tastes great, and it's really good for them. There are no toxic preservatives in the product and some very high-quality ingredients, including prebiotics and L-carnitine. One of the things I've noticed with my dogs eating Munster Natural is that they don't have any hip or joint problems, hardly ever, and that goes way back to many dogs that have eaten the Munster Natural. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster Natural, ask them to contact Munster Milling at their website, munstermilling.com, about how to get the product into the stores and make the customers happy, mainly making all the pets happy. There's Munster Natural dog food and Munster Natural cat food. Again, that website is munstermilling.com.
Register today for Howard Garrett's Healthy Living and Growing Seminar. Howard is teaming up with other experts to present growing edible gardens, mosquito control that works, natural pet health, natural remedies for weeds, head lice, foot fungus, and insect bites, nutrition and health, and much more. There will be prize drawings throughout the event, so register today by going to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Healthy Living and Growing Seminar logo or call 866-444-3478. Register at dirtdoctor.com today and have a more successful 2013. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com. Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com. Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. And one thing, when you look up the potting soil formula, you'll notice that I talk about peat moss is something that we do not recommend. And I thought I better mention that because a lot of people may have heard that for the first time. We do not recommend peat moss because it's antimicrobial for the most part. We do recommend it for storing things, for storing bulbs and Irish potatoes after they're harvested and things like that. But as far as potting soils, we want things that will stimulate life and will rot and become very active. Peat moss doesn't do that. Things can be stored in dry peat moss for a long time, and that's a good use for the product. Chris in Coppell next up. Hey, Chris.
Hi.
How you doing?
Well, how you said, I'm well. How are you?
Good.
You said something to the previous caller that set me off a little, because you said if he was organic, he may not have the fire ant problem, or it wouldn't be as bad. We've been organic for about 10 years, no chemicals at all, and we have chronic fire ants, and I don't know how to control them. Do you have any advice?
Well, I hate that that's the case, Chris. That's about the third or fourth report of the tens of thousands of people that I've dealt with that have said that. So I know you're telling me the truth, because I know other people have had the same thing. For some strange reason, a few organic gardeners have really bad fire ant problems and have a hard time getting rid of it. Tell me a little bit more about your place. Is it a big place or regular?
No, it's a regular
residential sized lot.
Yep.
And you've used dry molasses, I take it, from time to time?
We use the dry molasses in the cornmeal, and we also use a service. I don't know if I can say the name, but it's an organic soil treatment service that comes, I think, 6 or 8 times a year.
Wow. What do they do 6 or 8 times? They do pest control stuff?
Some of it's weed, and most of it is soil enrichment. It's a company that's meant to keep your soil alive.
Well, one of the things I know that company, one of the things they like to do is use some sulfates and some things that I don't consider effective fertilizers in a pure organic program. So you may want to back up and tell them that what you want them to use is nothing but dry molasses and spray with Garrett juice. And don't let them use just compost tea. Tell them that you want to use the entire Garrett juice formula, which includes vinegar, extremely important, and the fish and the seaweed and other things that are in there. If you do those two things, which I bet they're not doing now.
I know they use the fish and the seaweed. They use vinegar to spot treat for our weeds.
That's right. That's not what I'm talking about, Chris. I'm talking about using vinegar, apple cider vinegar in the Garrett juice formula. A lot of people in the business, for whatever reason, think that they have a better formula, but they don't. The formula that works is the Garrett Juice Plus formula, because of a whole bunch of reasons. You make it yourself or buy it commercially. They can buy it as well. And dry molasses and stop with the sulfates and the fertilizers that I don't even consider organic, and your fire ants will go away.
Okay, we'll give it a shot.
All right, trust me. And give me a report back about when it starts to make the turn, because that'll be a good story to pass on to people, okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much. It's John in Dallas next up. Hello, John.
Hi. A brief question. I got an almond verbena, and it came in a 3-gallon pot.
Okay.
And would it be better to go ahead and plant it now or bring it in and out and wait till spring?
Well, we had a similar question early in the show. A lady had just propagated some, and I'd probably tell you the same thing I told her, although it's a little bit different as far as the size of the root system goes. The almond verbena is a fairly tender perennial. It will sometimes stay green all winter long, like ours did this last year when we had a mild winter. Most of the time, though, it will die to the ground. And if it's not in the ground, it won't have a very large root system yet in the pots like you have. Plus, being in a pot, it'll be a little more exposed to cold. So you can do two things. One is you can keep the pots protected all winter long, or you can put them in the ground. And when we have a really cold session coming on, cover them completely with a real thick layer of pine straw, pine needles, or shredded tree trimmings, so thick that it would completely insulate them, or put floating row cover over that area since they have small root systems right now. The other thing you can do is keep them in the pots outside during warm days, move them in when it's going to be really cold, but that's a lot of trouble.
Okay.
In other words, there is a risk of them being cold damaged.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. That's a great plant, too. We've talked about it a lot on the show. It was not to be found in the Dallas-Fort Worth area until I started really hawking it a few years ago. So wherever you are in the country, it may or may not be easily found, but it's almond verbena, and it looks like a big buddleia plant. Has beautiful, fragrant white flowers and spikes all over it from early in the spring when you plant it until hard freezes. Ours are still blooming, for example, here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area today. Almond verbena. We've got newsletters about it. It's in the library of dirtdoctor.com and all that. Well, remember our seminar coming up. Look at the information there on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. It's the Healthy Living and Growing Seminar. It's January the 19th for the members only. Anybody in the country can watch online, or you can come in person if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We'd love to have you join. We're going to cover all kinds of subjects in more detail than ever. Enjoy being with you. Enjoy your gardens. And don't forget to feed the birds.